personal coach and trusted attorney, Andrew Leaf, who will help you get started in building your real estate empire. Grow your self-confidence, find your grit, and get the skills needed to dominate the real estate world. This is Real Estate Investing with Andrew Leaf.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Oh, we have such an exciting time. I got Adam Mafuda, who's running Oxford Property Group, who's going to be doing an interview with me coming up. He just bought Spire. He just bought Keon. He has over 800 agents. And what he's telling us is about the key of who your target is when you're running a business. We wanted to have Adam on for two reasons. Number one, he's in New York City. He's telling us that there's still opportunity in the real estate market in New York City. But number two, the focus point, and this guy went to Harvard, the focus point is needs to be who your client is and how you're going to give them the tools for success. We just want to thank my law firm, Liebet Law, for underwriting this segment because we're thrilled to have Adam on. Well, let's grab him. Lauren, we got Adam Mafuda on the line, and I'm very excited that I knew how to say Mafuda, not Mahuda. I asked him how to say it, and then I said it wrong because I'm just so bad with names these days, Lauren. Why can't people just have three letters in their name? Why can't everyone just be Ace? That's just so easy. But what you need to know Adam from isn't even that he's Mafuda, which is very important, but he's the founder and CEO of Oxford Property Group. And Adam, the part I don't understand, and maybe you can clear this up for me, is you used to run a pizza truck before you went to real estate. And I've seen the movie Loverboy in 1989 from Patrick Dempsey. And I know the tricks you get when you ask for extra anchovies. Why would you leave extra anchovies for real estate? Is it because the real estate's where the extra anchovies happen?
Well, so I actually was running Oxford, and then I also had the pizza truck at the same time. The problem is I just wasn't making very good pizza. So I'm a big pizza connoisseur, and I just the pizza that I was serving out of the truck, we weren't able to get the same quality that you get from New York City street side pizzeria. So,
did you agree with Papa John's? Better ingredients, better pizza, Papa John's.
So we were actually selling dollar slices of pizza. So we were selling dollar slices out of a truck, and I refused to raise our price more than a dollar because that's what our customers wanted, and it was actually at a time when the city was really kind of like going after food trucks and ticketing. And it's not easy to make a good dollar slice of pizza on a truck, especially because you have to do volume and then you got to figure out all the logistics of that. So it was an awesome experience.
How long did you do it for?
I think we were around for about like two years or so.
See, Lauren heard you say you gain weight, but she was trying to protect you from your body shaming. We were very worried because we know that Adam's beautiful specimen. So everyone, we don't want to hear that. So because after all, if you're going to be like Patrick Dempsey and Loverboy, we can't be selling a chubby Adam. This is no good. So Adam, here's the question though, for the 99 cents, the dollar I'm getting my pizza, could I get the anchovies? What about pepperoni or is it just a plain slice?
No toppings, straight up cheese slices. That's all we had. And we had water and cans of soda, just one option, kept it simple. Maybe I'm being too hard on myself. It wasn't terrible pizza, but it wasn't gourmet quality.
I know I like you already though, because you start off by saying you're a pizza connoisseur, and I consider myself a pizza connoisseur as well. And I think that a lot of people are very interested in this gourmet food. Like you're in Manhattan and you're all around, and there's these 5-star restaurants. We've been to these Michelin restaurants. All I want is a pizza place. Like I want a hot dog. People ask me for a business meeting in the city and I find this dive place and they're like, why can't we go fancy? I like the pizza. People don't respect a good quality crust.
Oh, no, for sure. I mean, my wife and I, we'd rather stay home on a Friday night ordering a pie of pizza and get an eggplant parm from Parm and call it a night. Watch some TV and instead of going out. That's our thing.
All right, so you're down at home with your wife. It's a Friday night. You're having the parm, eggplant parm, the best parm, the cheese, good. And you're saying to her, we're at Oxford Properties. The city, everyone's leaving the city. It's gone. Everyone's in the Hamptons. They're upstate in the Hudson Valley. Everyone's concerned. The businesses are closed. And you say to yourself, honey, I think we should buy some companies now. How'd that go down?
truthfully, a lot of the deals that we've recently done have been years in the making. I think the pandemic and certain other circumstances accelerated their urgency. But But yeah, I do definitely talk to my wife and consult with her about all sort of business decisions. My brother actually works at our company too, who's a great influence on me as well.
Lauren, you notice how he's shifting. He's a very smart guy, this Adam. He's not saying anything about the question of the conversation with the wife. That's marital privilege. And he knows that if he was going to say anything about the wife without the wife's permission, he'd be sleeping in the doghouse tonight. This is why this guy's growing here. So yeah,
my wife's cool. She gives me a huge leash and allows me to do pretty much whatever I want business wise. So she's very supportive. So
and she let you have a pizza truck. Like I'm loving this lady. And
did she let you have a radio show?
No, that's she's just not awesome. Aware of this. she's not aware of the radio show. She's probably not aware of this.
Do you notice, Adam, that my wife Lauren has to be in the studio with me so she can give me dirty looks when I say bad things all the time? That's why Lauren's my co-host.
She's very close here.
She was like, "This isn't happening." But what we have is I have a magic marker, a black marker, and when she gets too close to yell at me, I draw silly pictures on her face, and that's the way she gets mustache if she starts with me too much. But anyway, I want everyone to know why we have Adam on. Adam has Oxford Property Group, and this was a good company in the city. It was a real estate brokerage company. But in the middle of the pandemic, and yes, he tells you it's true. He tells you he's been working on these deals, but he didn't have to close the deals. He's been working on these deals for years, he says. He acquires two new brokerages, and now they have over 800 agents, real estate salespersons in the city going on. And Adam, how do you make this happen? How do you integrate that many people all at once?
It's a lot. It was a huge lift, and we did it sort of back to back. So I think right around March 15th, we acquired the Key End Group, which had about 150 agents. My staff, I got to give it to them, Molly Bowman and Matt Ziegler. We were up pretty much every night, late working, getting people's accounts switched over, making sure their listings were active. It was a huge lift, and once we finally got things stabilized. I sort of like announced to them that we were going to do it again with another 120 or so agents. So
did you give everyone dollar pizza when you announced it? Were you like, everyone have a slice, feed your mouth. Now I'm telling you.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm always giving out pizza, but, anytime we do something big, we try to reward the employees. I think, you know, we want them to feel like they're part of the growth, of the company too. So, you know, they're just great, and I think that they were very supportive of the acquisitions and excited that we were growing and expanding. So,
and this is just my lawyer hat trying to help you. When you say employees, you're really just saying all the people that are agents of the company, so we don't have any issues with people saying, hey, they're an independent contractor that should have got all this Department of Labor stuff, right?
I was referring to our employees that were actually like helping with the onboarding the agents.
Got it.
But you
got
are
it.
Right. The agents are all independent contractors. Yeah.
I only say that because we deal with the Department of Labor with complaints all the time, and I don't want anyone to be like, "Would you like to hear Adam referring to us as employees on the air right now?"
Yeah.
And so I'm trying to help you out there, Adam. So let me ask you a question though. What I thought was the most interesting wasn't the timing, which I thought was. Like I would have had to drink to do that. But what I thought was the most interesting is you're maintaining separate brands. Why would you do that?
So with Key End, we actually ended up sort of like merging all the Key End agents into the Oxford brand. With Spire, you know, I think they had sort of like a very unique company culture. And a lot of the agents that worked for Spire were extremely proud of the Spire brand and you know, they loved waving the Spire flag. And so, you know, and so we didn't want to kind of like take that away from anybody. I think what's interesting too is I think a lot of company owners really, really care about their brand. And even if there's an opportunity to work with another company like us, they wouldn't necessarily look for possible synergies or look for ways in which you can work together because keeping their brand or giving up their brand is a non-starter.
So is that in your contract, Adam? Is that in your contract when you bought it that Spire has to remain a separate brand, or is this just a wink, wink, and a handshake because you're nice people?
It is not. Truthfully, it was a deal point that we were discussing. I think ultimately we agreed to not put it in the contract, but I think it was for a very long time something that was very important to the owners of Spire.
So you could have been a liar. You could have been a liar. You're a man of your word.
Yes, I could have been a liar, and. And in the future, you know, and I think we were clear on this. If it doesn't work out, I think there may be a point where we would merge the brands. But I think for now, we're very happy with the decision to keep two brands. And I think with real estate brokerage specifically, there's a lot of brokerage companies where the owner of the company has his name on the company, right? It's like you know, John Smith broker. And so for those owners, I think it's extremely important for them to keep their name and to keep their brand. And so part of this strategy was to maybe attract a broker like that in the future, let them keep their name, but then use all of our technology and our tools and our back end and our accounting system and our web platform and all that to actually save them money, let them use their brand, and then essentially use our tech as their back end. So that's sort of like phase one, is seeing if it can work. And then phase two, I think we're going to hopefully speak with more people that would like to join our umbrella, but keep their brand.
Adam, what I thought was interesting about what you just said, Adam, you just said that a lot of people like to use their name. And that's true. You see, even though he's dead, there's Douglas Elliman, there's companies like Barbara Corcoran. But what I thought was interesting about that is you called your company Oxford Property Group, but I see you graduated from Harvard. So isn't that, you don't even use your school.
Yeah, I think Harvard Property Group might sound weird, a little bit contentious too. We didn't go with that. But
see, they're not pretentious in Harvard. That's what we just learned on the show. The Harvard graduates. So, and this is a smart guy. I don't know if everyone's picking up on what he said. Adam was telling you what he's doing is he's doing a slow integration, and first he's integrating the back end and he's creating efficiencies. And you correct me if I'm wrong on this, Adam, but for Spire, you said we have the tech, we have the tools, we have the back end, and everyone's prideful. You want to get buy-in from the team, and they have the pride of their flag, and you don't want to change that on them. And we'll see how the future goes, but for now, we can create corporate efficiencies. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly right. And you know, and I think with all these deals, you have two staff members or two different systems for every single company, and it all can be streamlined into one system that efficiently handles everything. You know, regardless how the agent does the business in the field or you know, on the street, that's different. But all of the back end work can be streamlined and efficiently coordinated by one centralized team, which is what we're doing.
So you just said the agent's doing the work on the street. And so what I want to know is, because it's all about me at all times, I don't know if you've noticed that, I'm self-consumed. And so while I'm listening to you, I'm saying to myself, I go hire Oxford. I hire an agent at Oxford. I go hire an agent. I say, hi, you work at Oxford with Adam. I'm on the street. What is your differentiator? What is your special sauce on why I should hire someone from Oxford as opposed to going to someone, as we mentioned, Barbara Corcoran, Douglas Elliman? Why aren't I going to one of the other companies? Why am I picking Oxford? Why are you the man?
Yeah, so to be completely honest with you, I think that when you're hiring an agent, it's all about the agent that you're hiring. It's less about the company. And you know, maybe that sounds like I'm throwing myself under the bus here, but the reality is the agents are the ones that are doing the hard work, and the agents are the ones that are doing the showings, and the agents are the ones responding to emails in the middle of the night, 24 hours a day on their weekends. And so I think like finding the right agent is the most important thing. I think our brand, obviously we power the agents with tons of tools and technology, and we help them with their like marketing. But I think a lot of companies actually do a similar job of that. I think that the differentiator is really the agent that you're hiring. So, you know, so definitely want to hire somebody with experience. You definitely want to hire somebody that has sold the type of property that you're selling before, or knows the neighborhood extremely well that you're buying in, or knows the intricacies of a certain house or area. And so I think that's definitely the most important thing in the transaction. And because of that, I mean, that's sort of like our whole philosophy. We pay the agents out 100% of their commission. So that's like our company's belief, is that the agents are the ones doing the work, and they should be paid out for all of the hard work that they're doing. As a company,
Adam, you're giving nowadays, the agent 100%. You're giving the agent 100%. Where do you make the money?
Correct. We charge a monthly desk fee for the agents, so they pay us $500 a month, a flat fee. And the agents keep 100% of the commission that they earn.
So how are you different from like the R Realties or the Ruttenbergs or the other 100% companies? Like, what makes you different while we're talking about this?
Yeah. So, I mean, the different 100% companies, we have invested tons and tons of money into our own sort of proprietary technology. And I know for a fact, a lot of those other companies just use kind of like out of the box tech solutions that already exist. So like a lot of real estate companies in New York and around the country, just subscribe or pay a subscription fee for their tech. And we actually have like a whole team of engineers and software developers that are actually building our own custom integrated technology. So I think the agent and the consumer with us get a very unique, fluid experience that most other companies I know don't don't offer, especially not the 100% companies.
So what I'm hearing you say, though, is the tech is your differentiator. I could have given you this answer to the first question. You have engineers on team. That's what you should be saying. You should be saying people need to, because Adam, we're going to work together. I'm going to be your PR guy moving forward. You say, you're saying Oxford's differentiator is our team of on-staff engineers. And yes, there's other companies that have it, but no one gives 100% of the agents that has on-staff engineers. So you keep using the word tech, and that's a great buzzword. Make it tangible for me.
So all of our sort of like deal flow process is online. So from the second you meet a client to the second you actually sign a contract or a lease, all of that whole entire process is done, organized and in an online, seamless fashion. We do a lot of listing marketing. So we have like tons of API integration between different websites where an agent just, puts their listing on our website and it syncs out to the 1,000 other websites on the internet, so it gets tons of exposure. We have a lot of companies, it sounds crazy, but a lot of companies are still using like PowerPoint to create marketing materials. All of that's integrated into our backend system where you can very easily create postcards and show sheets and all that stuff, that you give out to clients, ordering banners, any swag you can order through our agent portal. We've created this like all-encompassing agent portal that manages their clients, manages their transactions, allows them to send invoices, does marketing, there's training resources, and it's all custom built by us.
So Adam, you created this custom built. You created this custom-built tech, and it's got the client interface. You're saying it's all seamless. It gives you the ability to buy swag. You're saying it has training. Is your goal to stay in the real estate brokerage business, or is your goal to be a tech company and then license this product to all your competitors?
We're in the agent business. I think most of our tech is definitely geared toward the agents and making their lives easier. Obviously, to the extent that the agent is interacting with the consumer, or I have the consumer in the forefront of our mind as well, making sure that like anything where the agent is interacting with the consumer, it's a seamless and easy process. We mentioned this earlier, but I think, if we wanted to be sort of like a consumer facing tech platform, there's a lot of big, public money behind companies like Zillow and Redfin and maybe if we talk 10 years from now, we'd have a different conversation, but I think it's hard to compete against the Zillows of the world and the Realtor.com of the world that clearly owns the consumer right now.
Here, so, let's play a game together. Ready? We're going to repeat it because you went to Harvard. You should know this. The word is called private equity. Well, let's do it again. Ready? Private equity. If you get enough private equity, that's how you compete. You just need the big buck guys to give you the big checks, man. So while we're doing this, that's the key. Are you listening, people? If you're rich, Adam wants your money. So back to where we are. Adam, it sounds to me that you said we're on the agent's business. That's the key. It sounds to me that your clients at Oxford or at Spire is that your clients are actually the agents and the agent's clients are the consumers. Is that an accurate way of saying this?
Yeah, that's very accurate.
Okay. And so when you're recruiting an agent, I'm Andrew Lieb and I work at XYZ Brokerage and I hear you on the radio and I go, ooh, this guy makes pizza. Anchovies, good stuff. I could go work with them. I have two choices, Spire, Oxford. Maybe you'll even give me an eggplant parmesan from Parm. I'm going to go work with this guy. What's your pitch?
So I've stopped pitching agents. I'm more involved in the business aspect of things. But I think there's very little that a company is offering an agent right now. And the agents are doing a lot of their work themselves. A lot of their leads are coming from third-party websites. We provide all of the software, all of the tools, any support that you need. We're consistently helping our agents in any way we can. We're not a huge company where we can't take feedback. So if agents have feedback or if they want something specifically that we don't offer, we're sort of like always open to listening to what people have.
Adam, you're really good at this. I'm feeling like I'm thinking about it. But did you listen to Zillow's Errol Samuelson just give his pitch? Zillow's Errol Samuelson, he's the chief industrial development officer at Zillow. And he made me feel like that maybe you're going to be the Zillow in the future. He said that Zillow right now, I don't know if you saw this, it came out this week. He said they're in the Atlantic, Phoenix, and Tuscan, Arizona markets, and they're going to brokerage on January 2021, and they're getting their licenses. But they say Adam, you can keep your agents because we're not going to recruit your agents. So here's the real question. Why would I want to work with an agent that is an Oxford agent, a Spire agent, or an employee at Zillow who's now licensed? What's the advantage of going with the Oxford or the Spire versus the Zillow that's now licensed?
Yeah, I think what Zillow is doing is extremely interesting. And it's very interesting because we actually have like a strong business relationship with Zillow currently. So it's kind of like hard to say anything negative about them just because they've
And they crush you like a little Zillow. We got to say nice thing. All hail Zillow. Did everyone hear us?
No.
Zillow, if you're listening, Adam and I respect you tremendously. Please don't crush us. But if you're Bezos and you want to go into this business, we only hail you.
Right. I mean, I think up until this time, we've had like a very good respect relationship. And I mean, to answer your question directly, and then we can talk more about Zillow is, you know, I think the agent that ultimately works for Zillow, you know, Zillow's not paying that agent 100%, right? Zillow's going to probably keep 90% and pay the agent 10% and commoditize the agent as much as possible, right? Whereas, whereas if you want to kind of like build a brand and build a business and be an entrepreneur, like that's what we support, right? Whereas Zillow wants to make an agent uniformed Uber driver. Not
yep.
that there's anything wrong with that, but that's kind of like what Zillow's goal is. And so,
Adam, the only thing wrong with it is that you focused on Uber, not Uber Eats. And if you got the tone of this entire conversation, I only care about food. So we need to focus on what matters is the Uber Eats.
You know, I've never really used Uber Eats.
Oh, you got it, man.
You
could get diner food at your house. Like, and I don't know if you read, there's these guys in Long Island that just opened. Did you read this? The first delivery only diner. It's a takeout only delivery diner. There's no seats. That's the future of the diner. And then you call up the Uber Eats and you say, because there's nothing like diner food. It's almost as good as Adam's Pizza. So just cutting back, because I need to know this before I get you off. How's the real estate market in New York City?
It's not as bad as people think. So I think there's all these stories that everybody's fleeing and there's zero deals happening and nobody's buying. But that's not true. I think there's definitely less inventory on the sales side. People are definitely more hesitant to be buying, but we're still doing deals. Rental pricing is obviously down significantly to the tune of 15 to 20%. Landlords are giving away, two, maybe even certain cases, 3 months free rent to get tenants to sign leases, but people are signing leases. And I think, you know, this summer, obviously, you saw the exodus. People were moving out to the Hamptons or pretty much anywhere but New York City to be out in the sun and enjoy the good weather. But obviously stay away from COVID. But I think, I think as the winter comes and hopefully if there's no second wave, I think we'll see a lot more leases being signed, and I think the vacancy rate will sort of creep back down.
That's awesome. I'm excited. I think there's a lot of opportunity in the city right now. Lauren and I are looking every day because we think there's investment opportunity everywhere. And if you're thinking about being an agent in New York City and you want to join Spire, you want to join Oxford, you want to join what Adam and I are going to call the Harvard Property Group. He hasn't even started this one yet. If you want to do this, I have Adam Mafuda on the line. Thank you so much for joining us and teaching us about how you can make opportunities even in the midst of a pandemic. And the key is to identify your client and give them the tools you need. Thanks so much, Adam.
This is Real Estate Investing with Andrew Leib. Find us on social media at Listen to Leib or visit listentolieb.com.